Brent, thank you, church. Thank you, Nancy. And good morning. Welcome. Good to be with you all here today. We love you. Glad you're here, even if you're short. You don't always get seen. Sorry, Lori. I just teasing. I have a few other announcements. I didn't want to lay on Brent here. Sometimes these come literally last few moments. And so just bear with me for a minute. One I did share this morning in Sunday school, I want to reiterate. If you're able-bodied and you're good on the ice and the snow, we're gonna ask that we park on this side of the parking lot. Now, if you happen to slip over here, then you can graduate to this side. That would be the one benefit. We have obviously less room over here. We want to try to save that room as much as possible for those that may prefer a little closer to the door. And then the other thing was we have, Isaac, and I know Guy as well, some of the men here have volunteered to help park cars. If you want to just show up at the door and hand the keys over, and they'll park your car for you, and then at the end of the service, make sure they retrieve it, obviously, and get you home again. So just trying to accommodate as best we can. The parking lots, obviously, are greasy, and he was out there this morning, the men often do, and making sure the salt was down there. But anyway, it's my driveway is a sheet of ice right now. When we left this morning, as soon as I started to drive out of the driveway, I started to head for the ditch in my driveway. I didn't know if we were going to get out or not, but anyway, it's greasy out there, so just be careful. As Brent mentioned, the evening service tonight will be canceled. Weather's going to be a little bit iffy, and the temperature's going to drop. So we love to be together in the house of the Lord. One of the ways that we look after one another as sheep is to make sure that we're safe when we need to be. So keep that in mind, and we'll see you, Lord willing, Wednesday or next Sunday. Also, Sunday school. I shared this as well. Guy is Metive is going to be teaching through Basic Bible Truths. This is the book he's going to be using. I have several copies. If you would like to take a peek at this, and just to sort of get an idea of what he'll be teaching through, he's got a slide presentation that goes with this as well. You're welcome to have a look at it. Please do take it with you today before you leave. And then if you're interested in participating in that class, it will be starting tentatively, but likely on February the 15th, and we'll finish up here in the Book of Revelation, and then I'll proceed on to something else, and Guy's going to begin downstairs with those that are interested, and several have already expressed interest in that, so if you would like to know more, you can talk to Guy or see me, and you can have one of these to take a look at and get a head start on that, so keep that in mind and in prayer as well. Phil Williams. That's the other thing. He is not going to be here this evening. So he called me or messaged me there. I guess we spoke on Friday, and he is sick. And obviously, when you're a singer and you're sick, it's not a good combination. So he regretfully had to postpone. And postpone's a good word. Cancel, not as good, but postpone because he'll be doing it again in a couple of weeks. So as soon as he's able, he'll let me know, and we'll let you know, and we'll start to reinvite out those folks. I know some folks will be disappointed, and we need to make sure that we get the word out to those that maybe aren't here today, just to make sure that they know. So anyway, keep that in mind and be in prayer for Phil as he recovers. A couple of more things, excuse me for this, but one was Cuba. We have been collecting items for the churches, the Christians, the pastors, and the folks over there in Cuba. I do have a list here of all the items that they're looking for. There are several of these on the back of the table there, the back table at the church. So if you're interested or if you'd like to know what you can donate, this list is there for you. Many have already, as you have done so faithfully before in the past. So that's a blessing. They're heading again to Cuba here in a couple of months. I'm not sure if it was February or March. But anyway, yeah, okay. So we need to. So now's the time, and they'll take these items with them. Somebody else asked me about medicine bottles, empty medicine bottles. And so Dave, I spoke with Dave, and he said, yes, that's actually a good idea. They often will divvy up the medicines in baggies. So if you have empty medicine bottles that you would like to donate, you may have to wash them off, peel off the labels. A lot of us have, yeah, I got hundreds and hundreds. So, and you know, that could be a help over there, distribute the different things that we send them. Now, the only thing is, weight isn't a problem with those little bottles, but volume is, so it takes up space. But he said, we might be able to work around, you know, getting things sort of situated in a way that we can still send them. So we'll collect them, and as they're able to, they'll send them. So just keep that in mind. That's an easy thing. You get to the end of your prescription, throw it in a bag or whatever, and we'll make sure they get to Cuba as well. It's amazing how we can help. The little things that we discard are a blessing to many other folks in the world. So finally, two other things. There, Emmanuel Baptist Church, under Pastor Joel Eastwood, took a group to Israel a number of years ago, I guess 3 years ago maybe, and I was one of the individuals that got to go. It was a wonderful trip. I had no interest in going, not because I don't love Israel, but because I don't love travel. So I wasn't, but, and being away from my wife, that was a long trip, you know, so I had to throw that out there. But anyway, it was wonderful, and it absolutely changed my perspective on the scriptures. It really did. There is a spot for four individuals, and he wanted me to know if there's some folks in your church that would like to go to Israel. They're leaving in March, and you just let me know. We'll get that information to you. And I believe this is probably the third or the fourth trip, and he'll likely do more in the days ahead. So if you're interested in doing a toured trip to Israel, I would highly recommend it. Despite the plane ride, it's amazing. So anyway, he wanted me to share that as well. And then finally, keep one another in prayer. I know, I did some counting here. There's at least five individuals that I know of in the church that have procedures, surgeries upcoming within the next short season, some within the next week, some within the next month, some a little further than that. I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I won't name any names, but not that it would embarrass them. But if I was having brain surgery, I might not want you to know. You know, I might say, yeah, it's about time he had that done. But anyway, we do need to just keep praying for one another. We all get challenges in our lives that we're dealing with, and so we obviously, we covet one another's prayers. It's so good to know that that we have that support. All right, forgive me. All right. Acts, please, chapter 17 this morning. Acts chapter 17. We'll probably be another Sunday on this, but I wanted to at least get a little further here in this passage. We've been studying, of course, the book of Acts, and last week I'll mention it again, then we'll pray, that the book of Acts does a lot to aid us in understanding not only salvation, not only the early church, how it came to be, what its purposes are, how it handled itself, but it aids us in regards to the Christian life and in regards to church life and being evangelical as a church, but also as individuals, and being mission-minded as a church, which this church certainly is, as well as mission-minded as individuals. And what I'm saying is that the book of Acts is a wonderful template for how we can live our lives. And so we talked about some of these things, and today we'll get a little bit more into the evangelism side of things as we watch these missionaries do what they do. Let me summarize where they are. They've been booted out of the eighth place. Five of those places, they were literally run out of town. Like the last one, there was a riot. Jason got caught up in that, and he had to post a big pile of money of some amount, and trouble better stop or else you're going to suffer. And so anywhere the people of the Lord go to willingly, to honestly, graciously, publicly declare the word of God as we're instructed to do, you're going to be met with trouble. Troublemakers follow truth tellers. And this is an ongoing thing that we'll see not only in the book of Acts, but in our lives as believers. The enemy is wise. He knows that in order to separate people from the truth, he has to separate them from the truth tellers. So he brings division and dissension and stirs up the masses. And I tell you, we see a lot of that. Lately, the last couple of days, we all watch the news, like it or not. And we hear about this going on in one place, and Iran is about to fall, and we've got people out on the streets in this country and people out on the streets in that country, and there's this group and that group, and they're fighting, and there's this doing that. And you know, we're having a hard time bringing peace. We're having a hard time fixing the problems that we create. And there's only one that will be able to do it, and that is Jesus Christ. Until then, our best hope is to follow the manual, the Word of God, the instructions that He gave us to help us work through all these things. But friends, we know things are only going to get worse and worse. And as the temperature continues to rise and Christians continuously are swept up and blamed and accused, because ultimately when you boil down a lot of these things, the problem is us, the problem is the believer, the problem is the Word of God, the doctrines of God, the teachings of God, God Himself is the problem. And ultimately, the world is going to end up in a big fight between God and themselves, and God will win. Battle of Armageddon, quite literally. There's going to be a fight. And the problem is that the truth offends. And people don't want to hear things that are offensive. You know, a lot of times, I've said this a lot before as well, a lot of times people say, I'm offended. But what they really mean is, I'm convicted. And it doesn't feel nice to be convicted. It doesn't feel nice to have something that is an offense to God pointed out in my life. And so I don't like how that feels. And I don't do that. I don't like how that feels. And yet, the truth is still the truth. And better that I know the truth, even if it offends me or affects me or convicts me or makes me feel bad, than to be told a lie that in the end will cost me dearly. So these are some of the things that these men of God and women of God are learning as they work through the challenges of life. They've been run out of a town. They literally left Thessalonica with a riot mob behind them. Timothy and Silas, they're going to remain in the next town, and Paul is going to be asked to carry on alone. He's going to end up in Athens here, and by the time we get to it, it'll probably be 2 weeks away. But here we are headed to Berea. And I love this. Short passage, but let's read, starting in verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul to Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Let me pray, and then we'll get into this. Father, thank you again for each one that's gathered here this morning. And Lord, it isn't nice to have to travel in dirty weather. We all want to just be in our comfy clothes and lounging around, Lord. And yet, there is a desire, there is a draw, Father, to come, to be with you, to be in the presence of the saints, to be in the house of God, to pray together, to worship together. Lord, we know that we can worship you in our homes and all by ourselves, but Father, there's something that is tremendous, tremendously honoring and pleasing to you about coming together. Your word literally says not to forsake it. So thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Lord, though, for the caution that we can have as well. And we pray that you would bless us as we leave here today and that we would meditate upon your word all through the day. Help us, Father, to apply the truths that we learn from your word, to be not only mission-minded and evangelical, but also, as we'll see, to be good Bereans, to study what your word says, that we would grow in faith. So, Father, we just pray, bless everyone. Lord, be with those that are struggling. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Verse 10 again, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. They didn't want to make life worse for the Christians that were there, for Jason and his lot. There had already been a bail of some sort posted, and so they decide, look, let's just put an end to this. We've done what we've done. We've shared the truth. And so they decide to get out of town, to get out of Dodge, as it were. So Paul and Silas head off to a place called Berea. And as we continue to read, it says, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. You know, every time, well, not every time, but we see that most of the time. As soon as they head to a next town or the next town, what do? They head to where the seekers are seeking. They head to the place where they are willingly or openly invited to share these things, although not always by the end of it are people pleased, but they have strategy in what they do. It says also, let me read again, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. And I got thinking about the consistency of their persistence. You know, there's a difference between being consistent and being persistent. If you're consistent, it means you do the same thing all the time. It's habit. It's something that you're committed to. You're disciplined. You're consistent in taking notes. You're consistent in going to church. You're consistent in, you know, whatever, walking the dog. Persistence is a little different in that sometimes it's hard to be consistent, but you do it anyway. That's persistence. And as Christians, we need to be persistently consistent. Okay? And that's exactly what these missionaries are being. You know, again, how many times would it take for me to finally say, you know what, shaking the dust off, I'm not going back to that place, I'm all done with this. Even Jeremiah got to the place where he said, I'm finished with these people. He was known as the weeping prophet for a reason. I keep telling them the truth, and they don't listen. They don't hear. They don't see. They won't understand. And I don't know what to do or say. And he said, I'm done. And then there's that little verse, and I can't tell you the reference, but it's nestled in Jeremiah, and it says this, but my bones burned within me, and I could not forbear. In other words, it just bothered me too much. Their only hope is the truth, but they won't listen to it. Still their only hope. And I'll shout it from the rooftops until I lose my voice, but that's what they need to hear. These guys are being consistently persistent because this is their only hope. Somebody said to me earlier there, just after Sunday school, that, you know, if I had a cure for cancer, it would be mean of me not to share it with other people. And they said, this is like the gospel. It would be wrong for me not to share the hope of Christ with others, even if they don't want to hear it, or even if they don't believe me, it's still their only hope. And that's the truth. These guys are being consistently persistent. And I think it's a great example for us, Christian. Don't give up. There's loved ones that we're praying about. There's people that we care about, and we want to see them saved. And we know that we sometimes step on their toes a little bit. We don't want to hurt anybody, but sometimes that's just the way it works. The gospel is foolishness to those that believe not. It's a stumbling block, and they don't appreciate it. But to us, it's the power of God unto salvation, and we know that. And so we share it nonetheless. We shine that light. Be persistent. Be consistent. Don't allow the enemy to discourage you. Don't ever throw your hands up in the air and say, I'm done for good. There might be times when you say, I need a break. I get that. But just keep on keeping on. The Lord will strengthen us. He'll encourage us, and we'll get up again. The just man falls sometimes, but he riseth up again. So they were persistently consistent. Regardless of the difficulties, they continued on. At some point, you would think someone on the mission board would have said, hey, guys, this is not working. we're doing it wrong. But guess who's leading the mission board? The Spirit of God. That's what's so encouraging. So we can read these words and we can know, okay, this is the template. So when these things happen, I don't have to think I'm doing it wrong. I don't have to think God's punishing me. I don't have to think God isn't with me. I can read the Word of God and identify this is how it's going to look. When people run me out of town for sharing the truth, it's not because I've done the wrong thing. It's because they're blinded by the enemy. It's because they don't know that they don't know. And their only hope are those that tell. Blessed are those, the feet of those that preach the gospel. Secondly, in regards to this verse, I want to read Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And we'll all recognize it as soon as we get there, I know. But it's such a good, encouraging verse. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the verses we know so well. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Here's what it says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I love that phrase, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, take a guess as to who wrote that, who had to learn that lesson. I keep doing good and it gets tiring after a while, but let's not get wore out of it. Keep on going. Be persistent and consistent. Second in this verse also, I love the fact that I mentioned it already, that they head to Berea now. They leave Thessalonica, they're heading to Berea, and the first place they go is the same place they went last time when they got there, the first place last time. Was the synagogue. And what we see over and over again is Christians utilizing strategy. You know, using strategy is a biblical concept. You see it all through the Old Testament. Anytime God is leading Joshua or Moses and he's giving instruction, he's using strategy. One of my favorite examples is when Solomon was told by God he's going to go and he's going to anoint the son of Jesse, one of his sons, as the new king of Israel. And then on the way, Samuel. Samuel says to God, I'm paraphrasing, God, if Saul finds out that I'm here to anoint somebody else the king, while he's still the king, even though disobedient and rejected by God, he'll kill me. And I love God's response, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but God essentially says, yes, of course he would. He's a little crazy. And so make sure he doesn't find out. Just take a heifer with you, and if anybody asks, you're there to sacrifice. Now, he did sacrifice. That was not a lie. God doesn't lie. There's no deception, but it is strategy. Use wisdom. And so these disciples are using wisdom. When Christ slipped away from the crowds multiple times, he wasn't being afraid. He wasn't being a coward. Christ wasn't saying, "Oh, no, they're going to try to kill me. I don't want them to hurt me. I better." He went to the cross for me. There is no cowardness in Jesus Christ. I guarantee you that. But he was using wisdom. He was using strategy. I'm not dying on this hill. I'm dying on that. So I'm going to be wise about this because I don't want the enemy to limit my work for the Lord. And so strategy is a big part of what we do. How we handle ourselves, how we speak, how we behave, how we're willing to take the short end of the stick, how we're willing to suffer for those that we want to see saved. And it's strategic. It's not foolish. It's not being taken advantage of. It's being strategic. We're trying to win those who are lost to Christ, but they don't know they're lost. And so we've got to be strategic. And I love that. That's what we see. We see the disciples, we see these missionaries, these evangelists using strategy. And it's a good idea. Could we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4? Something else comes to mind, and I just want to, I think we should go there. It's not always going to be easy. And this is why strategy is so important. You know, we live in a world where it doesn't matter what's true anymore. It only matters what you believe. You know, you can, AI, we don't know what's true anymore. Me and my daughter watched a video the other day. I forget what it was. A cat was kind of freaking out, and it knocked over some things, and it was really funny. But there was just something about it. I thought, I wonder, is this real? I thought it was. Turns out it was AI. You know, there is so much out there that we're being tricked and deceived. We don't really know what's true. The only source that we can absolutely know for sure is this. And everything else we've got to take with a grain of salt or ask the Lord to protect and guide us. It is obviously a big issue. People don't want to know the truth. They want their opinions about what they believe to be the truth. And that's why we see all of the division going on, not only in our nation, but in other nations as well. And there is a hunger for peace and a hunger for truth, but there is no desire to ask God for either of those things. And so we can't accomplish it without him. And we see it more and more in our world. But here's where I'm going. Look at verse 2 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy. It says, "Preach the word." Again, this is Paul. Now, Paul is instructing a younger Christian, Timothy, and he's giving him counsel based on his own experiences. A man that used to kill Christians, telling a new Christian, a young Christian, I should say, here's what you need to remember. Timothy, preach the word, no matter what. That's why he's saying it this way. Preach the word. You just preach. You just share the word of God. But what if this happens, or what about, preach the word of God. Then he says, be instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? It means anytime, anywhere, at the spur of a moment, you be ready to share the truth of God's word. It's not just talking about the preparedness of a preacher of the word of God. It's the preparedness of a believer, a Christian, to share truth in a moment's notice when necessary. When is a good time to share truth? Don't answer that out loud, but think about it. The best time to share truth is when it's necessary, and truth is necessary when there isn't any. If someone believes something that I know isn't true, it's necessary for them to be directed towards the truth. They may not like it, they may not believe it, they may not appreciate it, but I feel incumbent. I feel it's my responsibility to say, hey, this is not the truth, this is the truth. That's a fair and a kind thing to do. If I was eating something that was going to kill me and someone didn't want to offend me because they knew how much I liked it, I wouldn't appreciate that. I said, well, you should have told me, now I'm dying. But if they come to me and say, you can't eat that, it's going to kill you. And I said, well, I really like it. Okay, well, eat it if you want to, but it's going to kill you. That's a difference, right? And so they're telling the truth, these missionaries. Here's what he says. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove. It's not a nice thing to have to do, but it's necessary sometimes. Hey, I need to redirect you. Rebuke. Hey, that's sinful. That's wrong. Exhort. I encourage you. Let me edify you. Let me lift you up. With all long-suffering or patience and doctrine or truth, the word of God. For the time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, true teaching. The time will come when they won't put up with it anymore. They won't listen to it. But after their own lusts, This is what I want. This is what I want to be true because this caters to my desires. This pleases me. If this thing that the Bible says is sin or that the government says is illegal could be made to be right, to be a good thing and not illegal, then I could consume it upon my lusts. And that's what I want to satisfy. Not God's will for me, my lusts. And so we're living in a world now that's doing exactly this. It always has, but at greater numbers than ever before. The time has come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Remember what they did to these missionaries? Different times they said, hey, what you're teaching is unlawful. I don't know if it was Iconium or Lystra. It's not legal here. That's against the law. You can't say that. That sound familiar? You know, these are the sorts of things that sort of sneak up on you, and then you realize, wait a second, we're kind of in the same boat. Yeah, we are. We may not know it yet, but we absolutely are. The tactics the enemy uses don't change. He just keeps reapplying them over and over and over again. They will not endure sound doctrine. They won't put up with it. It's not a matter of they don't want to hear it, but they won't put up with it. Run them out of town. Shut their mouths. Put them in prison. Beat them. Threaten them. And if you have to, kill them. And this is what the enemy has to work with. And this is what God is trying to save. Again, it amazes me that God sent his son to die for the very people that took his life. He loves us so much. And we don't know that we don't know. We don't know we're deceived. We don't realize that we're being tricked, that we're blinded. We think we know, but we don't. The world thinks it knows what it wants, but it doesn't. God has told us, but we've put the book aside. We've forsaken the word of God, and it's happened before. Let me finish the verse. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Has that taken place in our world? Can we identify in our nation that people no longer will accept what we used to know as truth, but instead things that we know, that's not true, that's not even possible, but no, that's the truth now, and better not say it isn't. We're there. What does the Christian do? Exactly what we've been reading. We see men who are not drawing swords, they're not cussing and swearing, they're not raining down fire and judgment, they're sharing the love of Christ at their own expense and at their own suffering because they love those folks who are lost and they want them to know the truth, and they do it because the Lord Jesus Christ has called us and commanded us to do exactly that. And he's never said it'll be easy or you will be safe. He said you be a light. It's not easy, but boy, it's worth it. Men will not always endure sound doctrine. Then it doesn't say, so when that day comes, stop telling them. No, he didn't teach that at all. He says they want their ears tickled. They have itching ears. They want to hear fables, things that make them feel good. But you preach the word of God in season, out of season. Doesn't matter what season you're in, what the temperature is. The truth is what they need to hear, whether they listen or not. And this is what these missionaries are doing. They go to Berea to continue to do the very same thing. It's amazing. The consistency of their persistence. We love it. Verse 11, look what it says. These were noble, or more noble, than those in Thessalonica. Now, you know, sometimes you get these small towns, and they like to pit against each other, you know, in their basketball tournaments or their hockey tournaments, you know. And Pine Glen's better than, you know, I better not say that. I'll get in trouble. There's a lot. You know, this community is better than that community or whatever. And so it's interesting to hear that the attitude in Berea was that, hey, they're more noble. I don't think the Thessalonians would have liked that very much. What do you mean they're more noble? But the truth is they were. And we're going to see a reiteration or evidence of that truth in a minute. But it says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What a wonderful compliment. What does that mean? To be referred to as more noble. Hey, you guys are more honorable. You're more noble. We respect that. Thank you. Well, what does it say? They were more noble. Here's why. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You got something to share with me? Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard this before. I'm all ears. And they listened. And that's what made them, one of the things that made them more noble than the others in the other town, Thessalonica, and probably many others. Because they were willing to listen to another position. They were willing to hear another opinion about things that they had already decided. They were more noble. They weren't foolish. They didn't say, we don't hear anymore. I don't care what you, I know what I believe. Get out of here with that. I will not see this from any other viewer perspective. I'm right. That's the way it is. You know, give me the fool that knows nothing and is willing to learn something over the fool that thinks he knows everything and isn't willing to learn anything else. It's true. I mean, what can you do if you won't? And so many times, and Paul himself will say it in Acts chapter 28. He'll quote Isaiah, having ears you don't hear and eyes you don't see. You just can't. You won't. You refuse. The folks in Berea thought, you know, we might be wrong. Yeah, that's true. That's happened before. We should listen to them in case they're right. And maybe we need to know what they have to say to us. Maybe our facts aren't always straight. Maybe our sources aren't always proper. Maybe we should be wise and look at this from every side, and then we can make a decision based on all of the information. That's why they were more noble. It didn't say the whole town became saved and you know, that became the pinnacle of Christianity, but many were saved. The fact is that they were willing to listen. And today, it's so discouraging. You can hardly get anywhere. I've given people gospel tracts. Now, I would say 95% of the time, it's just wonderful. If I talk to somebody about the Lord, fellow down at the pizza place down here, whatever it is, you see me all dressed up in my suit. Someone in the car was hungry for some pizza on the way home from church last Sunday. So we stopped in, and he said, oh, you're all dressed up? I said, yeah, just coming from church. Oh, church? Church at night? Yeah, that's a thing. I didn't say that. I said, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we meet twice a day. And love to have you. We're just up the road there. Okay, great. Thank you. Super polite. I tipped the guy well, and he gave me a free bag of bread, crazy breadsticks or whatever they're called. Anyway, the point is that, you know, people are open. Not everyone. There's a small percentage of, and I've done that where I've given someone a gospel tract, and as soon as they get it, they know because they've experienced it before. I don't want that. I won't read it. I handed a fellow a $100 bill and a gospel tract, and he refused both because it was wrapped up in a gospel tract. And he said, nope, I don't want it. I won't read it. Okay. Sorry to offend you. You know, that was his response. Well, the Bereans had a different response. I think it shows wisdom. We're not talking about a group of Christians that handled themselves in a Christian way. We're talking about civilians, just people who were smart enough to think maybe we're wrong. And we're losing that. People just want to join a side and then fight no matter what. Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong or evil or good. We're just going to win. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing. You don't win. And by the way, anytime we fight against others, the devil is the one that wins. The only one that can really fight is God. We just fight on his behalf according to his leading. And how do we fight? Just these ways that we're learning in Scripture. With truth, with prayer, with grace. And so these men said, the Bereans are noble. They're willing to hear us. We haven't seen this before. Oh, you guys want it? You want me to tell? Sure, I'd love to share with you. So they did. They shared. These people were willing to receive the word with readiness of mind. They had open minds. They recognized they might not be right about everything. So yeah, sure. Tell us what you have to share with us. See things from all perspective. Secondly, it says in the same verse, and search the Scriptures daily whether these things or those things were so. Number one, they listened willingly with an open mind. This earned them the title of being noble. Secondly, they examined the Word of God to see if what Paul said was true. And again, that's something else that's missing today. If I say something from the Word of God, then I would encourage you to go and find out if it's true. Not to find out if I'm trying to trick you, although often that is the case, but so that you yourself, working out your own salvation, can discover that truth personally and make it your own. And then when you hear me or somebody else say it, you can say, yeah, that's true. I know it is. Not because somebody told me it was true, but because I found out for myself. And that's what the Bereans knew. They knew that. They were smart enough, they were noble enough to have an open mind, to recognize they're not always perfect. They sometimes get it wrong. Has that ever happened to you? Man, it happens to me a lot. If you never, ever, I can give you some examples of what that feels like when you're sure you're right, but you're wrong. Sometimes I know where I put things, and I'm sure I put them there, and then I realize when I find it where I really put it, oh, I was wrong the whole time. These guys were noble because they were willing to have an open mind. Secondly, they were noble because they looked at the Word of God. They didn't just say, I don't care what you have to say. I'm not interested. I'm going to believe what you say without examination, or I'm going to disregard what you say without examination. You know, if I told you it's illegal to park your car inside of a mall, you probably wouldn't have to look up the law books to find it that's true. But if I told you it was illegal to take a drink from the spring that's off, you know, one of these roads in the country, you might say, well, is that true? And you might have to look it up to find out for yourself. We don't know everything. And so when we look into the law books, we can come to know what the rules are, what the laws are. And it's like that with the Word of God. They taught truth. And these Bereans went to the Scriptures to find out if what these men said were true. And it was. It says that they searched the Scriptures, by the way, daily. This wasn't a one-off thing. There's a lot of people out there, they read the Bible one time, maybe a few verses, maybe a chapter, and that's it. They're experts. I heard over the years, I've heard a lot, you know, trust the professionals, which a lot of times I do. But, many of us as Christians have studied the Word of God for 20, 30, 40 years. I would say that makes you an expert on what God wants for this planet and how God wants us to live our lives. A lot of people don't want to hear experts that spend 30, 40 years studying one topic for some reason, especially one as important as this. But the Bereans, they understood that. And they wanted to open the Word of God. They wanted to make sure that what they were hearing was true, that it was connected to what the Scriptures say. And that's what they searched. They searched the Scriptures, and they found that these things were true. Here's what happens next, just as we begin to close. Verse 12. Therefore, you see, they connected the dots themselves. They were open-minded. They didn't just say, I don't want to hear it, blah, 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 change the channel. Don't send me that link. Be quiet. Don't pass me that gospel track. They just, well, let me hear what you have to say. And here's the result. Therefore, many of them believed. Many of them believed in Berea. Thessalonica, they started a riot. They were run out of town. Poor guy Jason and whoever else was connected to him, they had troubles even after the fact. They didn't give up, though. They were consistent in their persistence. They continued to share the truth because the world needs to hear it. And it pays off every time. We don't always see the fruit, but sometimes we do. And in this case, many believed. How exciting would that be? You know, to end up in a town, you don't really know anybody as a missionary, you preach the truth, and they want to hear it. Tell us more. This is interesting. Well, it's true. I think we're going to trust in Christ. How exciting this would have been. How encouraging. How motivating. This is why we keep doing what we do, because we see God working. And so we stay faithful. We stay consistent and persistent. Many of them believed. Reading the rest of the verse, it says, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. This was the payoff. This was the reason why they didn't give up and jump on a boat and go home. It wasn't easy. They had to use strategy. But when you're sharing the truth, it's not always easy. The enemy likes to hinder us. And as we close, we got 5 minutes. Let me just share the reason why the next verse happens. Verse 13, look what it says. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, okay, wait a second, that was the last town. That was the last town. They're gone. They're done, right? Okay, we're out of here. See you later. Phew, we're done with those guys. Troublemakers always follow truth tellers. We're not going to leave you alone. We're not going to let you minister and share truth and preach Christ willingly without hindrance. That's never going to happen. All who live godly, Timothy also says, shall suffer persecution. Expect it. Anticipate it. If you're not, let me just quote the verse again. All who live godly shall suffer persecution. It may not be like this, but there will be some measure of hindrance in your life, whether it's from those around you or the devil himself. But he's not going to let you simply grow and share Christ without hindering you. That's why we're called soldiers. That's why the Bible talks about that we're in a war. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of darkness and the powers of the air, because the enemy wants to hinder us. Let me give you three things just quickly. Verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, this was the reason. Not if Paul had just went to Berea for a vacation, they would have been fine with that. That's not why he went, and they knew it. So they follow the truth tellers, these troublemakers, because they're not done trying to shut their mouths. Stop teaching the only hope that this world has. We don't care. We don't want it. We want to remain in the dark. And so it says, or let me share what I wrote down, verse 13. It says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So it was a literal behavior. They wanted to rally the people up, make them angry, so that these missionaries could be run out of their town as well. Here's why. Number one, the enemy resists us. The enemy will fight against us, as I said. He's not going to allow us to go unhindered. Paul literally uses that word at one point. He says, I want to come to you in Rome, but the enemy, the devil, keeps hindering me. Makes it hard. But I'll get there eventually. And eventually, he was floating on a plank of wood on his way to Rome, and he got there. He was in Rome. The enemy will resist us. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. Satan doesn't want those in the dark to know that there is light, that there is truth. Satan will resist you. And that's exactly what we see. Those in Thessalonica are being motivated by their own wickedness, by their own disbelief, by the devil himself, to hinder the truth tellers. If I separate the truth tellers from those that want to hear the truth, they won't. The devil knows that. The devil will hinder us. He hinders, he deceives, he lies, he's the roaring lion who devours. There's a little poem I wrote, I don't know if I can remember it. The devil plays a nasty trick in case you haven't heard. No, I don't remember it. The devil plays a nasty trick in case you haven't heard. I just looked at it not too long ago this morning so that I wouldn't forget it, but I did forget it. Let me just give me a minute here. I got to finish it now. The devil plays a nasty trick in case you haven't heard. He snatches up the truth just like a nasty little bird. That was what it was. That's what he does. He hinders, he steals, and that poem is based on the parable of the sower and the seed. And what happens is Jesus said that the birds that come and snatch the seed, that's what the devil does. He steals the seed that God has sown so that you don't believe it, that it doesn't take root and it doesn't begin to grow and you don't become safe or saved. So the devil hinders us. Number two, just quickly, the word of God is true. As I quoted 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, all who live godly shall suffer persecution. God said, this is what's going to happen. Expect it. In the world, ye shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So the Bible is true. God says it's going to be difficult. The enemy is going to try to stop you. Be consistent in your persistence. And then thirdly, I jotted down that men love darkness rather than light. That's what the Bible says. You know, it's not always about, oh, I didn't know. Sometimes it's about, I don't care. I want to do what I want to do. And the Bible does say that men love darkness rather than light. Sometimes when you shine light, people scream, shut off the lights, turn them off. And it's not always easy to hear that. But like these missionaries, we keep being persistent in our consistency. We don't let the enemy slow us down. God will use us. And remember, many believed. Was that a success? Absolutely. They were run out of another town. This time Paul leaves. He goes to Athens, gets a little Greek philosophy. And some of the other disciples stay around to minister to the church. Many believe, by the way, that Paul likely, the first letter that he wrote was likely to the Thessalonians because he didn't have a lot of time to teach them very much. And yet, God was faithful. Many believed. So anyway, just a few more thoughts from the book of Acts this morning, church. Thank you for your attention, your listening ears. Father, so much, Lord, in your word. We just never could get through it all. And Lord, it's just wonderful. It's like being all alone in a giant apple orchard and just you could just eat your heart's content and just never run out of the good nourishment that is your word that instructs us and encourages us and teaches us and guides us. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for it. Father, remind us that we are the same church. We are a little further down the line. The faces have changed. The names have changed. The locations are never the same. Churches pop up and Lord, we recognize that, but Lord, also that we are still the church. That we are the Lydias and the Pauls and the Peters and the Esthers of this season Being courageous, regardless of the consequences. Being faithful with the Word of God. Going to those that need to hear the truth. Knowing what they themselves don't know, that they're in danger, that they're in trouble. And despite their reluctance to hear, or even their outright hatred against us, Lord, we remain consistent in our persistence. Because we love them, Lord, and because we love you. So help us, Father, because it's not easy to do this. And sometimes we do get discouraged. And sometimes, Lord, the suffering that believers go through is overwhelming. So help us not to be weary in that well-doing. But thank you, Lord, for the direction in your word and how it guides us. We pray, Lord, for opportunity to share Jesus Christ, to share the light of the gospel with someone this week through our love, through our behavior, through our kindness, through conversation, through prayer. And Lord, we just pray, provide opportunities and help us to be faithful with them. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for each one that's here today. And we just pray your blessing on them, their lives, the difficulties, Lord, that each of us face. Please help us, Father. And may we just trust you and sense your presence and your peace and your strength. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we close this morning, number 293.